you, Jaden, for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. Hey, if you did not make it last week to church, you missed out because Kyle preached. If you don't know who Kyle is, he's the one who led us worship this morning, and he did a great job. So you can catch it on the podcast. Go back and listen to it as he walked through Psalm 22. He did a fantastic job. Last week, I was out. We took our kids to Disney World. Yeah, Disney World in July. So it was freezing and nobody was there. You know, it was rough. But, you know, it was fun. The kids really loved it. And I noticed something as we were waiting in line at Disney World. I noticed that every Disney ride has a similar process. You start outside in line, and it's got like this maze that you have to go through. You're waiting in line through this maze. It looks like it was designed by someone who just absolutely hates happiness. You know, you're out there, you're sweating, you're like, I just want to be on the ride. And then you get inside. After 30 minutes of being outside, you get inside and you go through the maze for another 30 minutes. But at least you're inside, you're in the air conditioning, so you feel like you've made some progress. And then you get on a straightaway. And you can see a door up ahead. And you're like, oh man, we are almost there. We are about to be on the ride. But the joke's on you. Because you get up to that door and you go through it. And it turns out you're not getting on the ride. You're in this area where they show you like a video or something that is setting up the ride. And so you're like, all right, well, we did that. Now we're getting on the ride. But you don't get on the ride. You go out of there into a staging area where they break you up into groups for the ride. But then eventually, you get on there, and you go on it, and about 20 seconds later, you walk through what I call the area of regret. It's where you're walking off the ride, and you're like, why did I wait an hour and a half for 20 seconds of like, woohoo! That was it, 20 seconds. But every single Disney ride has that process. There are a lot of things in life like this. You know, doing laundry is a process. Making dinner is a process. Getting ready in the morning is a process. Some of you, it takes way too long, and that's why you were late. Anyway, you know, it is a process. There are things in life that have a process. There are steps that you go through. Well, that's true of prayer. Today, we're continuing our summer in the Psalms by looking at Psalm 28. And as we look at Psalm 28, we're going to see three steps in the process of prayer. Now, these aren't the only steps. You read through the Bible, you can find other steps in the process of prayer. But these are three basic steps in the process of prayer. And so maybe when you are squeezed, maybe when life gets hard, maybe when you don't know what to do, you just need to walk through this process, go through these steps. So three steps in the process of prayer. Let's start with the first one. First step in the process of prayer is number one, recognition. You know, sometimes you recognize that you can't do it yourself. I was at Walmart one time looking for something, and it was a Walmart Supercenter. That's what they used to be called. You know, basically a Walmart that's the size of the city of Freeport. And so I was walking through there trying to find this one small item. It was this face mask that you could heat up in the microwave, and then you could put it on your eyes, and it would like relieve your allergies in your eyes. I don't remember. Anyway, so I was looking for it, and I went to the most logical place to find that. I went to the section where they have Band-Aids and medicine, you know, like the toiletries, all of that. I figured it's got to be in there somewhere. I looked through it, could not find it. I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe this just wasn't the section. The other section that it could be in would be like the beauty section, because some people like put masks on their eyes for beauty purposes. Maybe it's in there. So I went to that section. Gentlemen, do you have any idea how many shades of red nail polish Walmart sells? I do. I look through all of them. There are thousands of them. I look through every single product in that section trying to find this mask. Could not find it. So then I started just looking everywhere. I go to where they have like the sunglasses, thinking maybe it's over there. That would make sense. Not there. I go back to the books. You know, you read with your eyes. Maybe someone put it back. Nope, not there. I go to the produce section thinking, well, you know, carrots are good for your eyes. Maybe someone put it on the end rack. That would make sense. No, it's not there. I could not find it anywhere. So I pull out my phone. And I look at this product in the Walmart app on my phone, and it turns out it tells you exactly what aisle you can find it on. So it was aisle V6. I'm like, all right, perfect. Well, now that's done. My search is done. I'll just go to aisle V6 and I'll get it. I probably made 10 laps around Walmart trying to find aisle V6. I looked at every aisle, and it does not exist. I don't know what kind of quackery they have in the app, but it is not there. And so after spending roughly 6 hours in Walmart searching, I mean, it wasn't that long, it felt like that long, I threw my hands up. I said, this, it can't be. Well, actually, there was one other thing. There was a map of Walmart on the app. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. So I pull out the map. I enlarge it. I look through the whole thing. Guess what's not on there? Aisle V6. It's a trick. So I just go, you know what? I'm going to do it. I said the thing that I absolutely hate saying. I said, I'm going to have to ask someone. So I find a Walmart employee. And I'm like, hey, I'm just looking for this thing. It's on aisle V6. Can you just point me to where aisle V6 is? And they go, there is aisle V6. That doesn't exist. We don't have that. I'm like, all right, well, thanks for the help. So I go to another employee. I'm like, hey, I'm looking for aisle V6. And they're like, never heard of it. I go, okay, this is wonderful. So I find the third employee. And I'm like, please, please tell me where aisle V6 is. She goes, V6? Oh, yeah. There is a V6. It's in the vision center at the front of the store. Well, the map just said vision center. It didn't say V6. So I walk up there, and sure enough, there is this mask that I was looking for. But it wasn't exactly the shade of the color that I wanted, so I ended up not buying it. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I had wasted so much. I had wasted so much time, so much of my sanity looking for this. But I had to get to the point where I recognized that I was not going to be able to find it myself. I had to recognize that someone else was going to have to do this for me. There are a lot of you that are just like me. You exhaust every option. You try everything that you possibly can before you ask for help. Well, when we look at this scripture, we see that part of the process of prayer is recognition. So look with me at Psalm 28, verse 1. Lord, I call to you, my rock. Do not be deaf to me. If you remain silent to me, I will be like those going down to the pit. Listen to the sound of my pleading when I cry to you for help, when I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with the evildoers, who speak in friendly ways with their neighbors while malice is in their hearts. Now, we've said this as we've gone through the Psalms. David has enemies. He has people who hate him, who want him dead. And these enemies are breaking their promises. They're not keeping their word. They're trying to manipulate David, trying to destroy him and everything that he stands for. And what David's doing here, as we read this, we can hear it. He feels like he can't win against them. He sees that he can't do this on his own. You see, David recognizes that he can't work out his own problems. He recognizes that God will have to do it. That's why he calls out to God. That's why he says at the end of verse 1, if you remain silent to me, I will be like those going down to the pit. He's saying, God, I can't help myself. I can't win this. And if you don't help me, I'm as good as dead. I might as well die. David recognizes his weakness. That's a step in the process of prayer, recognition. But it's not just a recognition of your weakness. It's a recognition of who God is. It's a recognition of God's faithfulness. Look with me at verse 2. Listen to the sound of my pleading when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Now we read that and we go, what on earth does the holy sanctuary have to do with this prayer? It kind of seems out of place. It doesn't seem to fit. But it makes sense because the holy sanctuary was this place where the Ark of the Covenant was. The Ark of the Covenant was like this big box. And inside the Ark of the Covenant, inside the box, was the Book of the Covenant. The Book of the Covenant was this record of God committing himself to his people and then him telling them how they are supposed to live in relationship with him. So when David brings up this holy sanctuary as he prays, it's a reminder of God's faithfulness. It's a reminder of God's covenant to his people. He's saying this like to remind himself and remind us, God will not give up on his people. God will not abandon his people. God will not let go of his people. See, prayer recognizes God's faithfulness. A step in the process of prayer is recognition. Well, think for a second about how you pray. Really, if you were honest, what are your prayers like? Is it just asking God to bless the food before you eat it? Or is it just begging God to work things out exactly the way that you want? Or is part of your prayer recognition? When you're lying awake at night, running through every possible scenario for that problem at work, and you're praying to God about it, do you recognize in your prayer that you can't control everything? Or when you rehearse every possible way to fix that relationship in your head, have you admitted to God that you can't change someone else's heart on your own? Or when you're laying your heart out to God and you keep replaying that hurtful comment or that argument that you had, are you recognizing your need for God's healing and wisdom instead of just trying to get over it yourself? Or when you're praying because you're worried about tomorrow, maybe it's your health or your kids or your finances or your grandkids. As you pray about it, do you recognize God's faithfulness to his people? Well, this week, as you pray, before you even ask God for anything, just admit this truth to him. God, I can't do this on my own. I am not enough, but you are. And I know that you are faithful. That's recognition. And that is the first step. A step in the process of prayer is recognition. So that's the first step that we see here. And then there is a second step in the process of prayer. It's pleading. That's number two, pleading. If you think back to that Walmart story that I shared with you, that I'm kind of regretting sharing now because I can see the judgment in your eyes. What happened is I recognized that I couldn't find this thing myself. And then after that, I asked them for help. In fact, I more than asked them, I pleaded them to show me where this thing was. Well, in the process of prayer, right after recognition, we have pleading. David has recognized that he can't handle all of his problems on his own. He has recognized God's faithfulness. And then what does he do? Look with me at verse 3. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with the evildoers who speak in friendly ways with their neighbors while malice is in their hearts. Repay them according to what they have done, according to the evil of their deeds. Repay them according to the work of their hands. Give them back what they deserve. Because they do not consider what the Lord has done or the work of his hands. He will tear them down and not rebuild them. So after recognizing, David pleads with God. He says, please don't drag me away. Please repay them for what they have done. Please give them what they deserve. David pleads with God for grace and for justice and for victory. He pleads with God to save. But here's something really important to understand about this. Pleading isn't just demanding that God do things your way. Pleading is about getting real with God about what you need, about how you feel. It's about begging him to help on his terms, not yours. That's a step in the process of prayer, pleading with God. But if we could be honest, we really don't like that. We're not comfortable with this idea. In fact, it's kind of offensive that we're supposed to plead with God because we're proud. We're independent. We're self-sufficient. We're strong. And pleading. No, pleading is for the weak, the helpless, the desperate, the powerless, the needy, the overwhelmed. And none of us want to think that we are weak, helpless, desperate, powerless, needy, or overwhelmed. But stop and think about that. We've already recognized that we can't do it ourselves. Isn't the next step obviously to plead with God for help? Of course it is. And when we plead with him, we're not talking to someone who is kind of on the fence, kind of still figuring out if they want to help us or not, kind of assessing if we are worthy of their help. Instead, when we plead to God, we are pleading with someone who is gracious and kind and loving and willing to help. We're pleading to someone who wants us to come to him, who wants to give us what we need, who shapes us as we plead. So that is a step in the process of prayer, pleading. But you know, most of us, we absolutely hate pleading for help. I'm convinced that deep down, most Americans would rather spend 3 hours trying to move a couch by themselves than ask a neighbor for 5 minutes of help. Right? Maybe that's you. You've probably seen it before if it's not you. You know, it's that one neighbor who is trying to fit this massive, oversized couch in the back, the trunk of a Honda Civic. You know, and they're pushing and pulling and sweating, maybe even cursing under their breath that they decided to do this, but they refuse to ask for help. And then finally, when they are just absolutely exhausted, they'll pull out their phone and they'll call their friend and they'll say, "Hey, can you please come help me move this couch?" A few minutes later, that friend shows up with their truck and their furniture dollies and their Hulk-like strength. And they look at the situation and they're like, "Well, why didn't you ask me sooner? I wanted to help. I would have been here an hour ago." Well, that's how we are with God when we pray. We would rather strain, struggle, and exhaust ourselves all in the name of independence than ask God for help. But the moment that we do, that we really ask, that we really plead with him, we find that God's not annoyed and he is not reluctant to help. He's been waiting for us to come to him. He has arms wide open, ready to do what we could not possibly do. So friend, don't wait until you've worn yourself out trying to move the unmovable. Get honest. Plead with the only one who is strong enough to help, the one who is willing to help you. Plead with God. What's one thing in your life right now that's weighing on you, that's keeping you up at night, that is making you feel desperate? Well, have you actually poured your heart out to God over that? I mean, not just mentioning it, but have you actually pleaded with him? I'm talking about real, honest, specific prayer. Not just, "God, fix it," but, "God, I need you. I need you here in this. I need your wisdom. I need your strength. I need your justice. I cannot do this without you. So please help me." Maybe this week, you need to plead with God. Maybe you need to plead with him for strength to fight that temptation. Maybe you need to plead with him for healing in that relationship that just feels broken. Maybe you need to plead with him for courage to have that conversation you've been avoiding. Maybe you need to plead with him for peace when anxiety seems to take over. Maybe you need to plead with him for patience and dealing with that difficult person. Whatever it is, plead with God as you pray. He hears you. He invites you. That is a step in the process of prayer, pleading. So that's the second step. And then we see a third step in the process of prayer. It's number 3, praise. So if you have your Bible open still, look with me at verse 6. "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my pleading. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart celebrates, and I give thanks to him with my song. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is a stronghold of salvation for his anointed. Save your people. Bless your possession. Shepherd them and carry them forever." So here's the last step in the process of prayer. Praise. You can almost hear David catch his breath after all of that crying out. And then he just explodes with, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the sound of my pleading." That's his way of saying, God has heard me, so I praise him for it. And here's the thing. David starts praising God before everything is fixed. He's not saying, well, God, as soon as you handle all of this, then I will give you some praise. No, he says, you heard me. You are my strength. You are my shield. You are my salvation. So I am praising you right now. And now, if we could open our hearts, open our minds to this, it would change us. Because this is one of those things, one of those parts of the Bible that we're not really sure about. It's one of those things that we hear and we go, that just doesn't seem like real life. Because we think that praise comes after the victory. We think praise comes after everything has been worked out. We think that praise comes after God has delivered us. But that's not what happens here. And we think, God, you break this addiction, you heal my broken heart, you fix my finances, you restore my family, you give me good health, you help my boss finally see my genius and hopefully give me a raise. You do that, and then I will give you some praise. That's not what happens. David says, God, I'm praising you right now, even if I haven't seen the breakthrough, because I know that you are working when I can't see it. That's part of prayer. Praising God in the middle, not just the finish line. Praise is a step in the process of prayer. After recognition and pleading, David's prayer process moves to praise. Now notice, he praises right after he has poured his need and desperation out to God. And here's what it shows us. The process of prayer doesn't end with just unloading your burdens. It leads you to worship. Your process of prayer should lead you to worship. You know what that means? It means you don't have to wait for your life to get wrapped up in a perfect bow for you to worship. You don't have to wait until every prayer is answered and every battle is won. Listen, don't let your prayers end with your problems. Let them end in praise. Don't let your prayers end with your problems. Let them end in praise. You can praise God right in the middle of the mess, with tears in your eyes while you're still waiting on the miracle. Because praise is not just a reaction to God's deliverance. It is a declaration of trust in God's character. Praise is a step in the process of prayer. You know, we kind of treat praise like one of those after photos in a weight loss commercial. Have you ever seen one of these before? You know, that they have the pictures of the people who have gone through this journey, and nobody ever posts a picture of before and in the middle of. Right? No one does that. It's not like they're like, hey, y'all, here I am, week 3 with a salad in one hand and a cheeseburger in the other, wondering if I'm making any progress. No one posts that picture. No, we want the picture at the end. When we've lost the 20 pounds, when we feel great, when we look better, that's the picture that we want the world to see. We want the after. But praise is not just for the after. Praise is what you do when you're still in the middle of the struggle, when you're halfway through, when your hair's a mess, when you're questioning if the kale is actually working. I mean, I'm not a kale fan, so maybe you are. David's not waiting for the after photo. He praises God right in the middle of his mess because he knows God is still working, even if the scale hasn't moved yet. So friend, don't wait for your spiritual after photo. Praise him while you are in the middle of your story, before you see the results, because God is worthy. Before, in the middle, and after the breakthrough. That means for some of you this week, you need to thank God each morning for a new day, even if you are facing the same struggles that you had yesterday. means that some of you need to sing a worship song in your car, even though you're running really late and you're feeling really anxious. It means some of you need to text a friend and tell them about how God has been working in your life, how you've seen it, even if that story is not finished yet. Listen to me. The process of prayer isn't complete until it turns your pleading into praise. That's the last step of the process of prayer. Praise. Now, friend, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what baggage you bring in here today. I don't know what mess is all around you. But God shows us this process of prayer. It is recognition, pleading, and praise. So no matter what you're going through, pray this way. And you will find that the Holy Spirit shapes you, gives you a greater trust in God, moves your heart to worship God. So follow this process of prayer. But there's one more thing about this. You see, this process is not just talking about the right spiritual steps that you have to take. Ultimately, it is about coming to the end of yourself and throwing yourself on the grace and the faithfulness of God. Some of you need to hear this today. This is the good news. You don't have to wonder if God will hear you or help you. The reason that we can recognize our need, we can plead for help, that we can end with praise, is because Jesus has already gone through the process for us. You see, Jesus recognized our need. He saw our condition. And he stepped out of glory. He left heaven and came to earth and lived the perfect life we should have lived and died the death that we deserve. And Jesus pleaded with God on the cross, God the Father, for us. He said, "Father, forgive them of their sin." And right now he stands as our high priest, as a mediator, pleading to God for us. He took our sin, our brokenness on himself, our weakness, our shame as he died on the cross. And then he rose up from the grave. And because Jesus rose up from the grave, we have every reason to praise. Because if Jesus could handle sin and death, he can handle whatever it is you bring to him in prayer. Listen to me. Pray with confidence. Go through this process with confidence because of Jesus. But maybe you are here today and you have never truly recognized your greatest need, your need for a Savior. You see, you have sinned against God just like me. You have sinned against your Creator. And there's punishment for that sin. It is the wrath of God. There's nothing that you can do to make up for your sin, nothing that you can do to avoid the punishment. But there is hope. There is good news. There is an invitation for you today. Trust in Jesus. Recognize your need for a Savior and turn to Jesus. Plead with God to forgive you based on what Jesus has done. If you come to God now and you say, "I know I'm a sinner. I recognize that. But forgive me because of who Jesus is and what he has done." If you plead with God for forgiveness in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven. And you will have the life you were created for, the life that is connected to God. So if you've never trusted in Jesus, this is your moment. Don't wait till tomorrow. Trust in him now. If you have questions about that or you would like to talk to someone about that, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song, waiting for you. As everybody else is singing, come forward, let's talk about what it means to trust in Jesus. But do not leave here today without putting your faith in him and experiencing forgiveness from God. Christian, where are you in this process today? Wherever you find yourself, take the next step. Are you still pretending like you can do it all yourself? Will recognize your need and God's faithfulness? Are you at the end of your rope, desperate for God to move? Then plead with him. He welcomes your honest, desperate prayers, and he hears you as you pray. Or are you still waiting for your prayers to be answered? Well, don't wait for the after before you praise. Lift your voice now and declare, God, you are my shield. You are my strength. You are my salvation. Praise God. This process of prayer invites us back to God through Jesus. So don't wait. Whatever step you're in, recognition or pleading or praise, bring it honestly to God right now. Take the next step. So I'm going to pray for us, and we are going to sing together. And as we sing, respond by taking the next step. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Lord, there is no reason from us that you should hear us when we pray. But thank you that Jesus died so that we would be connected to you. So our prayers this week, as they are broken, as they are unfinished, would you help us, Lord? Would you not just hear them, but would you work in us as we pray? Would our prayers end in praise all the time because of what you have done for us in Jesus? I pray, Lord, if there's someone in here who has not trusted in him, has not put their faith in Jesus, that they would see their need for a Savior. They would see their sin. They would see the glory of Jesus and the gift of grace that is offered to them freely right now. And may they respond in faith. Let this be, Lord, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.